Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
And Josh Brown.
Oh, he's done it. We promised he wouldn't do it. Hello, Scott.
He knows the Goose Game's a thing. He can pull off the honks. He's bringing them in.
All day. All day.
I know. Too. Would you like to offer a honk yourself, or are you going to... Oh, you think that we'd all been like drinking something, but it's just the afternoon. It's the afternoon in a post Goose Game world. We're not even talking about Goose Game. We're going to talk about Batman. We've got nothing to do with Goose Game.
I mean, someone's related to a goose and that he's also based on an animal.
True. Yeah, good. That's a good, worthwhile connection. This will be the video going out on the main What Culture Gaming channel. So everyone who's listening to this should go over and subscribe to the What Culture Gaming podcast channel, which is where everything else is. That's where the majority of the episodes go. But we do one a week that appears on the main channel to promote things and ting. But we thought we'd do a long form breakdown of just sort of general thoughts on the Arkham series, the future of it, wish list stuff, rumors and everything else, because although it hasn't been officially confirmed yet, It seems like Warner Brothers Montreal are finally doing the next proper Arkham game. And it's just an excuse to talk about all things Arkham, because Ewan does it most of the time anyway.
Yay!
He's loving it! So I was going to just kind of just open it up like nice big open question as to where are you guys on the franchise right now? I know that you've been loving it week by week, keeping on top of all the different rumors and everything.
Yes.
Are you ready for a new one?
I am, because I've been holding the banner of Warner Brothers Montreal for years before it was even cool. Right now, Arkham Origins is getting a little bit of a reappraisal, and I just want to go and just fully commit to the whole hipster syndrome right now and just say, I loved that game when it came out, and everyone was like, it's not Rocksteady, why should I care about that game? I don't care about that game, it's crap. It's not Rocksteady. And I was like, but the story was incredible.
But
by
Paul Dini.
Origins wasn't by Paul Dini.
What?
It was by Corey May... Duma Wenshu and Ryan Galletta. I remember that because I wrote an article about it and they corrected me when I missed that one. That story, that Arkham Origins, I think narratively is the strongest Arkham title. I think it's boss battles, the most compelling boss battles in the series, and it definitely was a case for me at the time where I thought, you know, even though I loved Asylum City, I did think that narratively they were lacking in certain areas, and especially so when Arkham Knight came out and kind of crystallized all my problems with Rocksteady's Batman. So I'm always game for... I've always been anticipating Montreal to come back, and that's why it's been so... not upsetting, but, you know, certainly disheartening to hear all the kind of the strife they've ostensibly gone through over the past few years. You know, a cancelled Suicide Squad game that's meant to come out after Arkham Origins. You had a cancelled Damian Wayne Batman game, which sounded really cool as well. And it seems as though the next one's going to be a sequel to Arkham Origins.
It's like so overdue.
It's been 7 years since Arkham Origins came out, and I'm kind of just relieved at this point. And, you know, it's not, again, not fully confirmed, but at the same time, I think it's, you know, we can probably...
We're almost there. We're so close.
It's
after
an
this,
open
though.
Secret, isn't it, by this point? It's got to be. It has to be. If it's not, I will eat my hat live on this camera.
I'm waiting on... He's not even wearing one. I'm waiting until it's officially confirmed. But Josh, are you missing the franchise? Are you ready for it to come back?
I am missing the franchise, you know, because I never sort of fell out of love with it in a way a lot of people did with Arkham Knight. I really enjoyed it. The first time I played through Arkham Knight, actually, I was quite disappointed. But playing through it again for a second time, I had a renewed appreciation for it, so I've never really sort of wavered on it until recently, over the past year or so. Maybe because it's been so long since an Arkham game, my love for it has kind of soured a little bit as I look back and reappraise it. I went through Arkham Asylum again, for instance, and it's still a great stellar game, one of my favorites ever, but there were a few holes in it that I didn't realize at the time. I went through a bit of City and there was a few holes in that I sort of, you know, with fresh eyes, with, you know, my nostalgia goggles completely off, because, you know, the remaster isn't all that good anyway. I sort of saw it in a bit of a different light, but I'm still excited to see what the future holds, because like you said, it's been, what, 7 years since Origins. We've had
been
10 years
since Arkham Asylum.
10 years since Arkham Asylum. Oh. Don't tell me this. I'm
10 whole years, Josh Brown.
I like to think I'm a young man, but that makes me feel really old.
I don't think it makes me feel.
But I'm excited to see what they do next. I hope it is sort of Court of Owls, because I think WB Montreal got a bit of a bad job with Origins, because obviously, you know, WB came to them and were like, look, Rocksteady are the main guys. They've got this game they need to put out, but it's taking time, boys. So you need to come in, make Origins, and it's just so we have a Batman game in there. I feel like they did the best with what they had, but to see them, you know, hopefully take their own sort of take on the franchise, I guess, with a more or less a fresh slate. I'm sure it will tie into the wider universe, especially Origins, but I feel like, you know, they've kind of got essentially carte blanche to put their stamp on this universe in a proper, distinct way.
It is about time. I mean, it's kind of strange because there are a lot of like second generation studios carrying forward legacy titles, like 343 and the Coalition are doing it for Halo and Gears. And it would be kind of interesting if Warner Bros. Montreal end up carrying forward the torch from Rocksteady after the end of something like Arkham Knight, where Arkham Origins wasn't even included in the series wrap up as the credits rolled. It's like, yeah, which is like
wasn't
a weird
even
thing.
Included in the remasters either.
I know. Oh. It's just like Origins. I think you can play on Xbox One backwards compatible, but otherwise, it's not like very easy to get a hold of. I was going to mention though, like. Where did you guys come down? Like you said, you've gone back to the old games and stuff, but where did you tend to come down if you think of the different games on the design ethoses or like, because for me, I always preferred Asylum overall because I think it's more focused. I think I always thought that it kind of lost something in the way that they went to City and then Night, because for me, especially in City, it's just you take what made Asylum great and you just pepper it across an open world with not that much to do in between.
Well, the thing is, I really enjoy the linearity of Arkham Asylum. It's basically at its core Die Hard with Batman. That's very enjoyable as a great experience. I love the idea of putting Batman in the home of all his worst enemies and they're all trying to kill him at once is a fantastic concept that we've seen executed in the comics time and time again. Mm-hmm. Arkham City, I thought it was definitely just the same. It was Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was just going to put it, instead of it being a skyscraper, we'll do an airport this time, whatever. And even though I definitely miss the linearity of it, I definitely appreciate Arkham City because it was still bold in the sense that it was telling its own, you know, this was still a very unique take on Batman, and I thought the aesthetic behind City, the design, Rocksteady should really be praised, the visuals they incorporated into that game, and the idea of, you know, taking elements from the comics like No Man's Land and putting them into their own thing is interesting as well. Whereas Arkham Knight and, you know, to a degree Arkham Origins as well, I feel they wanted to have the cake and eat it in the sense they had the open world. They didn't want to commit to the open world, so they had Gotham be evacuated twice over. And I believe that open worlds exist based on how believable they are. And if you're, you know, finding different contrived excuses to say that there are no people in the city
it's
at this moment
gas.
In time, it's very frustrating.
I don't know where you came down on it, Josh, in terms of choosing one or the other.
I'm a bit conflicted on this, again, because I agree with what you're saying, that the tightness of Asylum with its sort of Metroidvania-style level design is really awesome, and yet I think I would have gotten a bit annoyed if they just did that for every single game. I really appreciate that each game does try something new. City expands the scope, and I feel like it gets the balance more or less right. It's big enough so that you do feel like you're, you know, encouraged to explore, and yet it is. I do think it's peppered with enough to find. There's Easter eggs, there's references, but then there's proper quests as well that are really interesting, like to just stumble across really naturally. And I think,
quickly for that, like, because I love stuff like even coming across Hush, but I never found that like they were that easy to sort of, like, you had to stumble across them. Like, at some point, I'd finish the game and I just want to see the rest of it, and then it was like, well, you can explore until you might stumble across something. Whereas I thought if they'd served it up more, like, purposefully, then maybe it would have come together.
I don't know, because I can't remember it too much. But I remember I played through that game a few times, and every single time I feel like, you know, a new set of side quests would pop up after every couple of story missions. It felt natural to me. I don't know if I would have preferred it like we got to with Knight, when you just get a sort of a checklist of stuff.
Right.
And yeah, it is more substantial in sort of City when you are just repeating really the same tasks like you were in Knight. But I feel like I like that City isn't just sort of an open world checklist. There's stuff to do, but the main sort of thrust of the game is the sort of single player story.
It is like a more atmospheric, bigger version of Asylum. It's just like, for me personally, I always thought it kind of missed something. I wouldn't mind going back to it, actually, like, considering that it's been a whole bunch of years since then. What do you guys think of the Arkham branding? Do you think that at some point, if we're going to continue getting Batman games, they should ditch the Arkham stuff? Or do you quite like them? Because for me, I think it's kind of, it's almost like a weird parody that they've managed to go, okay, well, the Arkham Knight was like a guy that was from Arkham, so, like, you know, like, sometimes it feels a bit forced.
Yeah, I definitely see your point there, but also, you know, it is a strong brand. You know, Batman Arkham, it's kind of insane to me that Warner Brothers have let it slide so much the past 4 years. You know, they really hammered it after City came out, obviously with Origins, then Night came out, and they just kind of let it slide for a little bit, which is weird because they have the potential here to, you know, the universe is called the Arkhamverse for a reason. And, you know, I think they could potentially, you know, drop that from their branding if they wanted to. But I definitely think there is an interesting thing about this version of Batman having a lot of it tied to the mythology of Arkham Asylum. And, you know, how far away we get from that is interesting. I do like the idea that all roads lead back to Arkham in a weird way for Batman specifically. And the titling has never really been as big an issue as like it has been for other people.
For me, I never cared. Like, personally, it was like, oh man, I just, more just thought it was like humorous because I was like, how are they going to make Arkham Knight work? Okay, well, it's like a dude from Arkham or whatever. And I'm just like, on a long enough timeline, they'll have to ditch it eventually. Otherwise, you just try and think of different things you can tag onto the word Arkham. But yeah, so in general, we've kind of just compiled a whole bunch of different rumors and wishlist things, things that we want to see, things that have been in rumors for the last sort of like 4 years at this point.
I don't know.
Since I was born,
I think.
Because, yeah, we initially reported on this when there was a big old leak from someone who was an ex-Warner Brothers coder or something and was just did this whole list of details online. And so I think that was back in about 2016, 2017. And there's been like a host of different things over over the years, like since then. But we can just use them to just create some talking points. So the main through-line rumor that kept coming back up was that the new game is going to be based on the Court of Owls story, which like you and you'll know better than me.
Yes, that was introduced in the New 52 by writer Scott Snyder and artist Greg Capullo. And that was really, you know, Snyder had just done the Black Mirror for DC at that point, which I highly suggest you all check out. I think it's actually his best work.
That's been in my cupboard for 3 years now. Not ready yet.
It's like Fincher meets Batman. You'd love it. It's fantastic. Cool. And, you know, the Court of Owls kind of really leaned into Snyder and Capullo's strengths in horror. You know, their Batman is very... not gruesome, I want to say, but it's very atmospheric and very creepy at times, and very scary. And, you know, the Court of Owls stuff really kind of exemplified all of that. And it's basically the whole through line of that is that there is this secret cult in Gotham City that's been operating for centuries at this point, which is a big theme of Snyder stuff. He loves going back to the history of Gotham.
He's been here all along.
Yeah, yeah. And the Court of Owls are actually a conspiracy of people, like of Gotham's high society, their oldest families, who... employ Talons, who are assassins, to basically influence the course of history in Gotham. And then as they've kind of been around in DC, they've, you know, they've gone global, they've done other sorts and stuff as well. And, you know, there's been a back and forth with the Talons, and it's all tied to different parts of the Bat family. And, you know, it's been one of the more compelling additions to Batman's lore, I feel, over the past decade. And certainly something, even though I personally am not a big fan of the New 52, I always look at Snyder and Capullo's run and with a degree of like, well, actually, I think that's a very, very clever, interesting thing you've added to that world.
I've read Court of Owls. I loved the bit where there's one bit when he fights one of the Talons in Wayne Tower and he gets completely just destroyed by the guy. And I think they, like you said, the horror sensibility kind of comes through. Like, you do genuinely feel like he is overpowered. And one of the things that was part of one of these rumors was that it would have a selection of these Talon fights that they would have sort of, like, I don't know, expand the combat and make it so that you had to, you know, try different mechanics or different patterns to beat them. What do you guys think of the combat in general? Because it's like, it's a lot of games are known for cribbing, you know, the Batman combat.
Yeah.
And so many games have taken it since then.
I feel like it would be better sort of going back to it now. I feel when Arkham Knight came out, after you've had, what, 4 games of that combat, it kind of fatigued you a little bit, especially because everyone else was doing it at the same time. But it's sort of easy to overlook how well and how tight those mechanics actually were. Yeah. You go back and they're buttery smooth and they all make sense and they're intuitive and it looks great. But I feel after so many games of it, it needed something else, because although it kept getting bigger, they were just sort of adding more things on. They were adding enemies where you have to use more gadgets, you have more options at your disposal. And to me, by the time Night came around, even though it wasn't, you know, worse than any of the other games, I was using less tactics because I had more, if that makes sense. Because I was encouraged to, you know, explore and experiment. I didn't, because I had already had my strategies down, so I just focused on the same things over and over again. I think a tighter, more, you know, focused selection of gadgets and moves would be better in the long run by just a whole heap. It's the same thing with Metal Gear Solid 5, to be honest, because I had so many weapons, so many items.
I never used that walker from that game.
I never used them. I just used what I knew. And even though the enemies in that game sort of evolved to match your playstyle, I still found ways around it.
Yeah, there's a term in like fighting games called like dial a combo, which is usually associated with like Tekken, where it's like you can punch in a bunch of you know, buttons ahead of time and then just watch the animation play out. And I think that obviously with Arkham Asylum, it did start with like a rhythm sensibility anyway. And for me, like I started playing it in that way. It's like, I'm going to counter, then I'm going to do a heavy attack, and then I'm going to do a grapple or whatever. And once it was like, okay, this guy's got a shield, this guy's got a stun baton, you just knew what each one was.
Yeah, that's the best thing about that is that I actually really enjoy the Arkham games and the hard difficulty with the little prompts off, because it's, I feel as though it's more of a challenge that way, because when it's with it, when everything's there, it's basically like you're playing a memory game where you're just looking, okay, that prompt means this, that. But when you're looking for it without the different symbols and stuff, it feels genuinely gratifying. Mm-hmm. And again, the thing that I'm most excited about with Montreal coming on board again is that obviously Rocksteady took some cues from them for Knight with the different characters, but I thought that the martial artists thugs in Arkham Origins were really, they were an interesting thing, because you had to think on your toes. You know, some would counter in different ways. I really liked that. And again, I think the boss battles in Origins, the best in the entire series. Mm-hmm. You know, they found ways to do it that weren't gimmicky. They all, every single boss battle in that game, even with, you know, you had these certain attacks you had to repeat to beat them, they all felt believable in the context of the world it was, especially the stuff with Bane. Mm-hmm. I love the stuff they do with that. And my main concern, I guess, at this point is that I'm not really too burnt out on the free flow aspect, but certainly the stealth. And that comes from me being a bit of a stealth nerd. I love Splinter Cell. I love, you know, Metal Gear. I love those old games. And I've always felt that the Arkham series, even though its goal is to empower the player as Batman and, you know, for you to be able to strike terror into the hearts of criminals and, you know, defeat them that way, I do think they need some more challenge as well. And I never felt that the whole idea of, you know, being able to use fear as mechanic was ever explored in a worthwhile way at all. Like, you could go into detective mode and see their heartbeat was skipping, but it was
you
just
drop down in front of them and they freak out.
And that's the cool thing, because Pat Redding, who previously did work for Ubisoft on stuff like Blacklist, he's actually been the main creative director on this Arkham title. So I'm very excited to see what he's going to bring to the table, and hopefully that means more compelling stealth gameplay.
Yeah, and plus, that's a pretty good point about the fear thing. I remember Asylum being sold off that, and I remember even in the demo, like, you know, like freaking someone out, like flinging batarangs everywhere, watching their heart rate go up, and then you drop down in front of them and they go, oh, the Batman, and then you like take them out or whatever, and then that's all you can do in terms of exploiting fear kind of thing, unless you do other like environmental attacks and stuff. But I guess, would you change anything in terms of the core combat, or is you?
I have a lot to add to this, because you've all raised some really good points here. For me, I agree with that the stealth needs massively changing, but the combat itself, the free flow works so well, but I just want more verticality to it. Batman isn't Spider-Man, obviously, but there's a real sense of freedom in the latest Insomniac Spider-Man game where you are battling dudes on the ground, you are webbing up to another level, you're taking those guys out, you're knocking them to the air, you're juggling them. That Batman's free flow just hasn't really had, which is weird because the stealth itself is so vertical. And if all the way through those games, both the stealth and the combat felt like two very distinct parts that didn't often intersect. You had your stealth section that went into a combat section, yet they weren't sort of meshed with. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to just be Spider-Man, but I'd like to sort of see some verticality to the fights, whether they're on different floors or you have to move around. Just a more agile Batman, I think, would be would work wonders to freshen up the combat. But the stealth itself, in my opinion, either needs to go, and this might sound ridiculous, and I by the end of those games, it was just doing my head in.
Because
I felt like the core idea,
go to Gargoyle,
like
go to
very repetitive,
sneak around, do the same moves. You weren't really encouraged to use your items in the same way that you were in Asylum. And I want the fear aspect, like you guys said, to just play more of a part, mess about with it, make it so you scare a guy so much he accidentally knocks off like a smoke canister, then you can abuse that.
Wouldn't it be great if you could like take a guy down and like proper rough him up, and then you just, as they're walking around, it's like, hey, where'd Joey go? And then you just drop him from a gargoyle and he's like covered in bruises and stuff, and they're like, whoa, like that. I would love that.
So a tactic I used all the time throughout the Arkham series was grabbing someone with a vertical takedown, stringing him up, and then knocking him down to that batarang. I used that all the time. The fact that they never really capitalized on that idea was always so frustrating.
Because the visual is so iconic anyway. And that's kind of the thing I was getting at before about the Arkham branding potentially being limited. Although it's down to the way that they take it in terms of the art direction. But the gargoyles ended up everywhere. Like they were suddenly all over Gotham. They were just everywhere.
Well, the thing is, I was just about to mention a point there and kind of talk about Splinter Cell and how I would love it if Batman took advantage of the environment in more organic ways. And I feel as though Rocksteady was, this isn't to, you know, to crap on them too heavily, but I did feel as though going back to Arkham Asylum now, I felt the level design was very, very limited. And, you know, you have your gargoyles, you have your different aspects. I've got a very raspy voice today.
You're turning into Batman.
Too many honks.
And you could never... you can never hide in organic ways. You'd look at these air vents, you'd go into these different things, and they'd always just be the right amount of size for Batman. You never had to change his shape too much. What happened to the idea of, you know, my mind goes back to Chaos Theory, where you could like pole vault with your legs and like suspend yourself that way. Yeah. Why can't Batman crawl along pipes that way? Why can't he utilize the environment in more interesting ways? Why can't he do that? And I feel as though this new game really needs to lend that idea. You know, you need to make it so that these levels don't feel like computer games, weirdly.
There's a weird thing because like stealth as a genre isn't that bankable. It's strange because with something like Goose Game, I literally Googled like stealth games 2019 and there is Goose Game and Plague Tale and that's it. So like by definition, Goose Game is the best stealth game of 2019. And it's like, it's weird because the last major stealth game in terms of having a really big budget behind it was Metal Gear 5. I guess you could say one of the Hitmans, but Metal Gear was obviously bigger than that. And it's like, that's the thing. I guess if you're them and you're sort of trying to, you know, do the pitch meeting as to what sort of games there's going to be, the split between action and stealth, they nearly always edged more towards the action stuff.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But you were mentioning like Chaos Theory, like the split jump and stuff like that. The Tenchu series was always like, you know, making your own cover or like grappling, like using a grapple hook to go straight up to a ceiling and then just like attaching to the ceiling and waiting for someone coming below you. Like they're mechanics that are like baked into stealth games as a genre. And it's weird because I wouldn't necessarily say the Arkham series is a stealth series. It's just that it's the kind of always been.
I mean, I think, you know, I appreciate what you say about like, you know, making it more action oriented. I think Batman is definitely that. But I also feel as though if you get rid of the stealth completely, you are taking something away from the character.
I really want stealth.
So I would like, I think maybe the answer, if they're not keen to completely mess the gameplay altogether, maybe they introduce something like interrogations. I know they were very gimmicky in Splinter Cell Conviction, but maybe have it so that you can do a whole Batman Begins thing where you've got a guy by a rope and you're dropping him up and down, like that. I would love that as well, because when we interrogated people in Arkham Asylum and City at night, you would just hold them over a thing and just go, talk to me if you want to eat again or whatever like that. And you know, that's not compelling. I think they basically just need to make the player feel more involved in the stealth. And one of the ways I think you could do that maybe is maybe taking the Red Dead approach and actually making it so that before you head out into the city, you don't just have, you know, Batman's utility belt always gets him out of everything, but maybe have it so you have to choose what gadgets you're taking with you like on a certain occasion. Like, I think that would help people make them feel more like Batman themselves rather than having, you know, some of the gadgets Rocksteady introduces in the later games just felt so stupid. Like the whole electric charge thingy. I was like, what is that? Why would Batman have that? What is he doing with that? You know what I mean? Just make it so that like players can customize their batsuit or their utility belt and just make it so that they can tell their experience to them to their own playstyle. I think would be very good. And again, that way you can have it so that you don't just have pre-designated stealth sections and pre-designated combat sections, but really you can approach different situations however you'd like to. Maybe
we can jump to that thing as a overall like wish list point, because if it's true about what some of the other rumors have been, then this is the biggest math they've done so far. They would have like vehicle sections, and apparently at one point the Bat Cycle was being rumored alongside the Damian Wayne game or whatever. So like if you go down the route of the Batcave stuff, we were talking about this before we came in, but that idea of like, you know, you have the Batcave and Wayne Manor, and you know maybe pick like a whole bunch of different missions from the Batcave itself. You suit up, you pick your gadgets, you go out. Like I think something like Red Dead 2 proved that you can have a specific loadout, and for me, like one of the only other games that ever did that was like True Crime Streets of New York, where you were picking the specific weapons before you then tackled a crime. But I like that in terms of making the open world stuff make sense. For me, that would answer the or fill the gap that was left behind in City, because I just felt like I was going A to B.
Yeah, man, give me a mother base from Metal Gear Solid 5 or a camp from Red Dead Redemption 2, somewhere where I can go back to after I've been out on the streets, you know. Let me repair my suit. Let me get a shower or something.
Alfred sassing you. Yeah. Hey, sir, I prepared you a plate of nothing.
Oh, thanks, Alfred. Let me sleep.
You just swipe the teacup out of the way. No, yeah. Alfred, I'm going upstairs.
I do think it would give, I don't know, you more personalization if you got to go back to the cave, you got to select your next missions or whatever, you got to select your loadout. I think that would be, like you said, Ewan, I think it just, although it sounds kind of daft, I think limiting your arsenal gives the player more freedom in a way, because they're encouraged to experiment, they're encouraged to really make the most of those few gadgets that they actually have. Mm-hmm. And if you decide what you want to take and which play style you want to kind of adopt, that just ultimately makes your Batman feel a bit more personal, makes it a bit more satisfying.
Plus,
when you
like, that whole side to the like Batman fiction, which I thought the Telltale game did really well in terms of being Bruce Wayne. Like, you mentioned that, like, the Cold Cold Heart DLC had you be Bruce.
Yeah, you were at a social event and you had to go down and escape to the Batcave. I think there are two things there. The duality of Bruce Wayne and Batman is something I feel as though the games have they just have completely not understood at all. I feel as though Knight definitely is beholden to the cliche that Bruce Wayne's the real mask and Batman is who he's deep down. And I can't abide that.
Right.
So I really want this game to kind of, you know, reiterate the duality of the character as well. And I've completely forgotten what you just said. That I had a comment that I had that I was going to talk
cold,
about.
Cold Heart, but Wayne Manor.
Completely forgot what
missions
I was going to say.
Maybe at some point.
It's completely gone.
That's cool. We can talk about timeline stuff because it's almost 99% going to be a prequel, because that makes the most sense. But I was just for the sake of wishlist, rumor, whatever type stuff, let's just, like, what if they did do a sequel? What if they carried on where Arkham Knight leaves off? Because that game does end, the true ending for that game has that really weird ending with all the scarecrow toxin type stuff.
Remind me.
I know. And it's like someone is active in that sort of space. Someone's trying to be some sort of Batman, but we don't really know who it is. I guess it makes the most sense to do a prequel, but what do you guys think in terms of where the timeline is? Should they just leave where Arkham Knight finishes, let Rocksteady have the end of it, and they just plug things in beforehand?
For me, I just sort of want them to have as much freedom as possible, to be fair. I think if you make a prequel, you don't have to be too beholden to what came afterwards. And I feel like if they did do a sequel, I'd just have some kind of clean break from Knight. I'd jump, I don't know, a bit into the future, perhaps, and just kind of, you know,
Batman Beyond somewhere.
I think that's the way you do it. I think I'll cut you off there. But I think if you're going to do something after Arkham Knight, it would definitely have to be the Batman Beyond Dark Knight Returns style thing where Bruce Wayne's assessing how much of a stupid decision it was to lie to his friends and family that he is dead just so he can selfishly continue to be Batman with, oh God, I hate that ending so much. So that's how you do it. You'd have to look at, you'd either do it immediately afterwards where you've got different members of the Bat family, you know, analyzing the fallout of Knight's events, or you'd go straight into the future and have, you know, Terry McGinnis tracking down Bruce Wayne in his old little cave and then finding out what actually happened. You go from there. I think if you did it any other way, then I personally wouldn't be invested.
Plus, I mean, that lets you get Kevin Conroy back for one last time or whatever you want to do. And then, like, they already have the geomesh of Gotham as they've built it, or as it might have been handed off to Warner Brothers Montreal from Rocksteady. You could then iterate on it aesthetically and give it the sort of, like, the Batman Beyond, like, Futurescape stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the most disappointing things about the cancelled Damian Wayne game, that idea of a future Gotham where you do have, like, the older Batman. You have, obviously, Damian Wayne as the younger Batman. Mm-hmm. And, like, that weird sort of relationship between your older mentor who's kind of been there, done that, made a load of old mistakes and now is trying to rectify them is great, and the idea of an even more sort of not futuristic but certainly dystopian Gotham that might have gone to hell and maybe would have allowed, you know, the Court of Owls to manipulate everything and transform it would be interesting. I don't mind it being a prequel. That's obviously, there's loads of scope to explore Batman's history in that. My only problem is when you make a prequel, I feel like, and this isn't to everyone, but a lot of fans sort of just try to connect to the dots too much to the other games, and then the focus kind of becomes on how it fits in rather than what it is, if that makes sense.
That's definitely what happened with Origins. Like, I feel as though the developers were under pressure to actually get... I personally love delving into the timeline stuff, but like I think after a few months of people nagging, when is it set, they came up with a really absurd figure of like 5 to 8 years before the events of Asylum, which would leave Batman having to go through like 3 different Robins and like all that, like in that period of time. He burned through in Robins, like he's burning through catalytic converters or whatever. But, you know, I don't know. I feel as though this is a great way of introducing Robin in this game, because one of the rumors is that, you know, you'll have Dick Grayson's Robin in this. Yep. Obviously, if you played Arkham Origins multiplayer, which actually I think is pleasantly, it was actually pretty fun, to be fair, but it was. But yeah. And they actually, Montreal did have a design for Dick Grayson's Robin in that game, which looked really cool. Mm-hmm. So if they were to introduce it, this one, maybe we have a little time jump after the events of Origins and we see Dick Grayson coming in and, you know, maybe more established Batman and Robin. I think that would be really cool.
What do you guys think? Because they had all that co-op stuff in Arkham Knight, but it was obviously still a single player game. You were just juggling between the two. But they did experiment a bit with the co-op in the multiplayer of Origins. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of like the idea of a multiplayer Arkham game, but still reined in a bit, so it's not necessarily a multiplayer?
I feel like it's just sort of, you know, leaving money on the table in a way. I feel like you can do that so naturally and in an interesting way that furthers the story as well and the relationship between the characters. And I don't know why they haven't done it before. Even in Knight, I quite like the co-op in Knight. But even that kind of felt underutilized considering the audience.
You do it like three times.
Yeah, it's not very much.
They did a big song and dance about it. Like, dual play!
Yeah, it's in a select few missions, which is such a shame because all of those characters, they've obviously modeled them, they've given them their unique fighting styles, and they're all so interesting, and they all look so good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why you don't just double down on that in a game, especially now we've had four Arkham games at this point starring only mostly Batman. Just open the floor up, discover that relationship between Batman and Robin, because he's gone through a lot of Robins by this point. You want to see those relationships form and then break apart, and then it not only allows for a great story but a great, you know, unique gameplay style.
Yeah, I mean, Suicide Squad, when they were doing that was rumored, that was meant to be have a co-op focus as well, and obviously the end of Origins ended with, you know, Amanda Waller recruiting Deathstroke to lead this team. So I wonder if that's an idea that they've kept on the back burner potentially as a bonus feature. I think maybe the problem, this is me completely hypothesis, like, you know, inferring from what's gone on, but, you know, I do wonder if maybe the reason why they couldn't get Suicide Squad off the ground was mainly because, you know, Warner Brothers, seeing how successful the previous Arkham games were with just a single player effort, you know, they thought, oh, you can't diverge too heavily from that. And the same goes with Damian Wayne, a Batman game without Bruce Wayne. What are you thinking? Mad. And it's like, you know, that comes from the publisher's own lack of understanding for the license itself. Mm-hmm. Whereas I always feel that Montreal have always understood, they always had compelling ideas. Each rumor has always sounded interesting to me. And if they could make a co-op game with Robin involved, I think that'd be really cool.
I mean, I love, as a visual thing, I love the team-up moves that you got in Knight, and I think if you were going to do that in a co-op sense, you would just have it where, like, you know, some meter fills up, whatever, one of us is ready to do a co-op move, you just hit the button and it's flags on the other person's screen, you hit the same button, you team up, and you keep going. Like, there's a way to maintain the flow, as opposed to, you know, assuming that one player might get in each other's way or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a way for that to just be an extension of the game's core combat.
I mean, if the upcoming Avengers game is going to try to implement this, you know, single-player and multiplayer have the cake and eat it too. I think, you know, WB as a greedy publisher, no doubt, would want to capitalize on
they
that
must
somehow,
have read the tea leaves. Like, yeah, they must know that's going to happen. Let's talk about vehicles a little bit, because the Batcycle was attached to the Damian Wayne game. The Batwing was attached to a rumor called Arkham Crisis for a while. But that idea of sort of making the open world segments more enjoyable or more sort of dynamic, if part of, you know, picking a mission and picking your loadout was then picking which vehicle you get into as you wave goodbye to Alfred or whatever. What do you guys think of that?
The Lego Batman games did that, didn't they? I think it was Lego Batman 2 did it, where you could choose whether you could go in the Batwing.
You can get in the Batwing, and I think Lego Batman 3.
Is it 3 or 2? I think it's 2.
2?
I can't remember now. It's one of the Lego games that lets you do that. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yes.
I would love it if you could just reenact the intro to the animated series and just, like, you know, do that whole thing and, you know, going further from Arkham Knight, where you had multiple Batmobiles to choose from. I think that's a really good shout.
If they give you pick whichever Batmobile you want, then you could, I mean, they've already modeled the Tumbler and stuff from the Dark Knight. You know, you could bring all that stuff in, have the weird little mini Bat cycle from Dark Knight.
But yeah, definitely the thing that I want is the vehicles without the and we go over it so many times, but the tank in Arkham Knight, I mean, the Batmobile, giving the Batmobile to players should be, and that thing drives really well. It drives very well.
But
the overall focus on making, you know, just this tank that can, like, then go to tank mode and shoot and blow up things, that just isn't Batman to me. And I think if you're looking at vehicles in this game, it can't be, the focus can't be on combat. It has to be on traversal.
As you say, like, and transport.
And because obviously Origins had the fast travel with the Batwing. But if they can make that work with I think if you're going to have the Batwing in this game, then the world must be huge to make it actually work.
Some of the rumors seem to go with that. I love the idea of, like, I envision a version of this game where you're picking a mission, but, you know, you pick mission B, which means that mission A doesn't get attended to, therefore all these different things change, and this different criminal becomes more powerful or whatever. And, like, in my imaginary version of this game, whichever vehicle you pick dictates how you can, if you can get there faster or something like that, which means that you can't use it next time round or whatever. I would love stuff like that, where you're having to, you know, feel the stress of trying to look after all of Gotham, because Arkham Knight had a bit of that, even though it was all stuck in the one night trope kind of thing. At least in Arkham Knight, you felt like all of Gotham was under your wing kind of thing.
Get rid of the one night trope.
Yeah,
that's
another thing to sort of, like, refine, is that all of these games have always been everything happens in one night, which was pushed to breaking point in Arkham Knight, where there was just way too much.
It's when the DLC, I think I was getting sick of it with Arkham Knight already, but it was when they had the whole DLC that came out afterwards, the Season of Infamy, and they couldn't be arsed setting it either before or after the games.
It was just
like,
as well,
oh yeah, so this just happened as well during the night.
Professor
as well.
Professor Pig, Dr. Freeze. Let's end on just villains in general, because obviously the whole thing with Arkham Knight was that Joker's dead, he's definitely dead, Rocksteady going on and on about Joker definitely being dead, and then Mark Hamill arguably had more voice lines in that game than either than the two previous ones. I guess it's just like, who do you guys want to see, and are you okay also getting more Joker, which assumedly would be Troy Baker again this time, because I don't think Mark Hamill would come back again.
No, it would be Baker again. I think the one tease that I want paid off from Arkham Origins, and you know the reason why we got the Court of Owls in this is because in the one of the hotels that you go to, there are owl statues outside, and there is something on the elevator as well. There's like a walled off floor that people can get to, but that's obviously in the comics they live in that kind of area. I really want them to pay off on the Phantasm, because I know that might have just been a nice little reference to Batman Animated Series, which again, you know, Arkham takes so much inspiration from that series. But I would love it if you had Andrea Beaumont and you had the Phantasm in there, and then maybe you know you pull, I don't know how they'd factor that into a story with the Court of Owls as well, but maybe you make something where Andrea Beaumont's family were maybe part of the Talons, because they can go so well with their own universe here. Either that, or they go traditional and just adapt Mask of the Phantasm, which I wouldn't be.
Mask of the Phantasm, the animated movie, totally recommend that alongside everything else as well. Yeah, because I mean, with Arkham Knight, like I said, Joker, I remember being so deflated that Joker was in it that much. And then I remember being annoyed that Two-Face just had like 5 bank heist missions that were nigh on played out the same way, and that was it for him as well. So for me, I would like to see them delve into like characters. Like, I don't know Phantasm outside of the movie.
You can have Harvey Dent in this one as well before he becomes Two-Face. And you know, one of the things that I thought Arkham Knight had, like you mentioned, the repetitive nature of that story, of the Two-Face side mission, but the actual ending to that is really tragic, and like Troy Baker does a really good turn where he's just kind of like he goes into the whole tragedy of his turn as Two-Face. There's so much unspoken history that Montreal can kind of delve into here, and I would be interested to see if, you know, that maybe they do bring in Harvey Dent here. Maybe the intro is you at the court, you're watching the courtroom case in the Batcave or something like that. I don't know. You can definitely bring it in that way.
That'd be a good time to place it. Josh, what's your thoughts on villains?
Well, this might sound like sacrilege, but I wanted to focus on fewer villains than before, because I feel like it's always so cool to have this great Batman world that feels so Batman. You got all the references, you got these bit characters showing up, you've got big villains to fight, you've got villains teaming up. But in my experience with these games, I've always felt a bit sort of shortchanged when it comes to like the big bads, except Joker, who we've had too much, funnily enough. When it comes to sort of Hugo Strange and Arkham City, I feel like that thread was so underutilized. I remember being so excited about that when that was coming out.
He was the center of the marketing for that.
There was so much cut content from that game. Going from the story, like it looks as though they cut like 4 hours out of it or something.
Even you sort of Scarecrow from Arkham Knight, I feel like that was such an interesting sort of idea. And even though he's still a huge focus, the focus is taken away because the Joker's in it so much. And I just want them to focus. I've said focus a lot in that sense. I want them to double down on a handful of characters, but really explore them, really do them justice. Don't just have them there because they're Batman villains and it's great to punch Two-Face one more time. I want them to serve the story and really sort of, you know, make sense in this world. I don't want them to just show up because it's fun to see them. And I do love seeing them. I want references to them. I like seeing how Rocksteady, you know, bring these, or WB Montreal, bring these characters to life, but don't just throw them in for the sake of it.
I guess one of the sort of like really like final points is just like, how much do you think that, obviously there's going to be production oversight. There's going to be Warner Brothers saying, we want this game, we want it to, you know, be beholden to certain goals or whatever. How much do you think they're beholden to a version of Batman that is the most mainstream Batman possible? Like we talked before about the split between action and stealth, the things that are going to sell, the version, like, you know, you and you were saying that they kind of got the dichotomy of the character pretty wrong. Do you think that that'll just kind of be the case, because at some point this is the next Batman game, there's nothing else, so like they're going to want something that's going to appeal to everybody, which maybe just means lots of punching.
Well, yeah, you know, I think we can get away with the whole I did a video on What Culture Comics a while ago on like the main problem with comics, and that's always being the reset button. Characters are never allowed to develop past a certain point. I do think maybe the Arkham Batman is strangely underdeveloped given how long we've spent with them.
True.
And maybe you look at this game, even though it is taking, you know, you think of a Batman at the peak of his years, maybe, or just before his peak, that's still quite a mainstream version of the character. I think even though that's the case, there's definitely scope to tell interesting stories there. Even though while I've personally found it frustrating, we'll probably never get a Batwoman game or a Batman Beyond game or anything that kind of really diverges from the mainstream narrative of Bruce Wayne is Batman. I do think there is potential to, you know, focus on what Batman means both as Bruce Wayne and as the Dark Knight, which is something we've not really gotten recently.
It's weird, like you said, it's weird how little it's weird how the Batman in those games is the nebulous sort of just like existing pop culture version of Batman, and then like he has a weird like has kind of an attitudinal shift in Arkham City where he suddenly wants to prioritize Talia over saving Gotham, and there's like little things like that they sort of just go with, and it's quite hard to like pin him down, like but he serves the script more than he serves like an existing sort of like through line character. But yeah, what do you thing to
When it comes to Batman, he's sort of, to me, more an idea of Batman than an actual character. Yes. He's what we think of Batman. He's the symbol or whatever, mm-hmm. rather than an actual person with motivations and, you know, characteristics, even though they do try to sort of lean on that at points with the relationship with Nightwing and Robin and stuff. But I just want to see him more fleshed out. Mm-hmm. I'd like some Bruce Wayne stuff. I'm always conflicted when it comes to this because obviously it's such an integral part of the character to have that duality, but I've never totally been convinced that a studio could probably get it right. Mm-hmm. Insomniac did a really good job with Spider-Man, but even then occasionally it just takes sometimes focus away from, like, sort of, you know, the core features, and I don't want them to get too bloated where you could have it in there and it's quite exciting, but you could have focused more on expanding, you know, the Batman stuff.
All I want is to just get attacked as Bruce Wayne and just get a fire poker. You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts. That's all I want. And also to chill on the Batcave computer with my cowl off brooding like that.
Yes, yeah. I do want to do that.
Holding a tumbler of wine.
Punching your one key.
On the piano. But yes, let us know everything down in the comments below about your ideal Arkham game and what you think about the series so far. For now, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast, and I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ewan Patterson. And Josh Brown.
Bye.
I will catch you next time. Bye. Oh,
you didn't think I'd do it, but I did. Oh,
that's my honk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.